Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to December. Yeah. Hey, I want to say a special welcome to our people that are newer to our church. So if this is your first Sunday or you've just recently started attending, we want to say a big welcome to you this morning. I understand that that it can feel, when you're new to a church, it can feel like you're dropping in on someone else's family reunion. And you're the only one that doesn't know people. And so we hope we've done a good job so far of helping you feel welcome, and we want to continue to do that. A way that you can help us do that is there's a guest card in the pew rack or the chair rack in front of you. And if you could just take a moment and fill that out if you're new, and later on in the service when we receive the offering, you can just put that in the offering, and that would be great. It helps us to get to know you, and it'll help you to get to know us better as well. Well, turn with me in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. This morning, we're launching our Christmas series. And this year, I've entitled our Christmas series, Promises Made, Promises Kept. And because the coming of Jesus into this world was a long-awaited fulfillment of God's plan of redemption from the beginning of time. You know, there's a lot of times we look at the Old Testament, we look at the New Testament, and we see them as being two totally different things. But really, the Old Testament and New Testament are absolutely connected to one another, and they both tell the story of God's redemptive plan. And so what we're going to be doing throughout this series is we're going to look at some Old Testament promises of the coming of Jesus. And then we're going to look at how they are fulfilled, or that these promises are kept in the New Testament. But not only that they were kept with the coming of Christ 2,000 years ago, but that God is still keeping his promises to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so I want to help us make these wonderful Old Testament to New Testament connections. So we're going to start in this this prophecy clear back in Isaiah chapter 60, which was written about 800 years before the coming of Christ. 800 years before the coming of Jesus, Isaiah wrote this: "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you. Nations will come to your light, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." This is a great, beautiful, wonderful promise of the coming of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Now, before we talk about the light and what that means, we're going to need to talk about the darkness first. And so we're going to highlight the second verse, which speaks about the darkness. Verse 2, "See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people." Before we can really appreciate the light of Jesus Christ, we need to consider a little bit the darkness that is in this world. I want you to notice just that first word, "see." If you want to just circle that, see, this is the Lord speaking through Isaiah. "See, darkness covers the earth." In other words, I hear God saying, "Wake up, pay attention. Notice how bad things are getting. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people." Kind of ominous, isn't it? Kind of an ominous picture of the condition of our world, and yet this is the picture that God is painting for us, that darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the people. Now, when the Bible talks about spiritual darkness, it's talking about at least three things. First of all, it's talking about a moral darkness, the inability for people to know the difference between right and wrong, to distinguish between good and evil, what is just and unjust. And this is actually kind of a scary idea, because as time goes by, It's obvious that our world is actually getting more and more and more morally dark. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the end times. There will be terrible times in the last days, Paul wrote. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of... How many of you just like, wow, that sounds pretty bad, right? But it's the way things are becoming. Face it, folks, our world is falling into a very dark moral abyss. Whether you want to think about violence and murder or sex trafficking or child abuse or abortion or political corruption or greed or taking advantage of the poor, it all comes back to the fact that this world has chosen darkness over God's light. And morally, we have lost our compass. So it's a moral darkness, according to the Bible, but also according to the Bible, it's a lost sense of identity and purpose. This is what spiritual darkness means, a lost sense of identity and purpose. In other words, when we lose sight of God, we also lose sight of ourselves. We lose sight of the fact that that our life actually has purpose and destiny, and this is why so many people are asking, well, what's life really all about? What is my life all about? Do I have really any purpose? Does it have any meaning? Where am I heading and why am I heading there? People have lost their sense of identity and purpose. And then finally, darkness in the Bible is speaking of a lost connection to God. Lost connection to God. This is what it means in the Bible. Darkness, spiritual darkness. It's a lost connection to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So all of these things, it's like spiritual dominoes. When we lose our connection to God, we lose our sense of humanity. And when we lose our sense of humanity, it leads to moral depravity. It's like spiritual dominoes. Now, the good news for us. Into this spiritual darkness, into the darkness of the world, comes Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for the love and kindness and compassion of God. Amen? I mean, God could have let us continue down that road of spiritual darkness, but he didn't. He sent his son, Jesus, to become the light in the darkness of this world. So let's go back to Isaiah 60 and just read it with this sense that Jesus is the light. Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise. Promise made, promise kept through Jesus Christ. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord, Jesus, rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Man, aren't you thankful that Jesus, the light of the world, has come into our lives? Amen. Yeah, that God didn't allow us to just continue without hope, that Jesus has come to light up the darkness. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says about Jesus that he is the radiance. Everybody say radiance. He's the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So Jesus comes to reveal who God is. You know, Jesus didn't come through a multitude of religions. God didn't reveal himself through human academics and philosophers. Listen, church, I believe in science. There's a big debate right now whether Christians should believe in science or not. I believe in science. But I also believe that science is not God. Right? I believe in science, but science is not God. Science will never reveal the reality of God. Just never will. That will always take faith. So the fact that science doesn't prove the existence of God doesn't mean God doesn't exist. He did not come to reveal himself through science or philosophy. God has not come and revealed himself in any of those ways. God reveals himself through one way and one way only. He reveals himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's how he reveals himself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is how God has displayed his glory in the midst of the darkness of our world. Jesus boldly and correctly declared, I am the light of the world. Now, how many of you know that's a bold assertion? For someone to stand and say, I'm the light of the world. But he was right. He was correct. Jesus is the light of the world. Now listen, one day, the light, the truth, the glory of God is going to be revealed to the entire world. And it's going to be very clear. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. For the earth will be filled. This is a great promise of end times. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So the reality of God, his light, is going to be obvious to all of creation. How many are looking forward to that day? Amen? All right? But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. And so until that day comes, when God reveals himself to all creation, God reveals himself. He shines the light corner by corner by corner by corner. Every small space at a time, God reveals his light, and he reveals his light through Jesus, but he also reveals his light through us, his people. Because while Jesus said, I am the light of the world, you know what he told his disciples? He turned to his disciples and said, you're the light of the world. So God reveals himself, literally, he reveals his light and his glory through his people. There's a phrase that, four-word phrase that's just been just echoing in my brain over the last few weeks and preparing for this Christmas. And if you read the newsletter, the e-newsletter, you saw this, but the words are light up the night. Light up the night. And I believe this is something that the Lord is showing to me personally, that this is something he's wanted me to pray about on a personal level, but I believe it's also something God wanted me to challenge our church with. Light up the night. Light up the night. And so I've been praying two things, and I want to share these two things with you when it comes to lighting up the night. The first thing is, God, let your light shine on me. Before I ask for anybody else or talk about anybody else's need for the light of Jesus Christ, Lord, I need your light. Amen? Lord, shine on me. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 says this, give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So as followers of Jesus Christ, we're to be pursuers of light. Now, when there's a light present, the only thing that would keep that light from shining on my life is if there's something standing between me and the light. So if there's an object between the source of light and whatever the light's supposed to shine on, if there's an object there, it creates a shadow, right? And this the light's there, but the light is shadowed by something being in the way. And the only way that there's going to be light on this thing is either for that object that's blocking the light to be removed or for that thing to move from out of the shadow. And so I'm praying, Lord, if there's anything standing between me and you, I want to get that thing out of the way. And if I need to come out of the shadows and get into your light, if that's a step I need to make, Lord, that's what I want. I want to walk in your light. I want your light to shine upon my life. Now, that's a bold prayer, and it's a very purifying and revealing prayer, because sometimes God will show us things that are actually keeping us from walking in the light, and we need to be prepared, no matter what that thing is, to let God deal with that so we can move back into the light that he has for us. So, Lord, let your light shine on me. And then my second prayer, of course, is this: Lord, let your light shine through me. And you got to pray that first prayer first before you can pray the second prayer. Lord, let your light shine through me. So we're to be a reflection of Jesus Christ in a very dark world. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you became a part of a community of light. And the purpose, according to God's word, the purpose of his church is that we would reflect and reveal the light of Jesus Christ in our world. Lord, let your light shine on me. Lord, let your light shine through me. Look at this, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. This is speaking of the church, you and I. You are a chosen people, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Church, that's you. That's me. God has called me for a purpose. He has called me out of darkness into his light so I can declare his praises in this dark world. And church, we are confronted every day by the darkness of our culture. And things appear to be getting darker and darker. So we don't respond to the darkness of this world with fear. We don't respond to the darkness of this world with anger, which is the way a lot of Christians have chosen to respond. Does no good. We don't respond to the darkness of the world with judgmentalism and pride. Oh, look at us, we're walking in the light and you're still in the darkness. No, the only appropriate way to respond to the darkness of the world is to shine. Amen? We shine the light of Jesus Christ. You and I, we are not saved because we're good. We are saved because God has been good to us. Amen? Yeah. And so we shine that light of Jesus Christ. And in this Christmas season, I want to encourage you to make it your undying purpose to shine light in darkness, to shine the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to his followers in Matthew chapter 4, something for every generation of Christian to heed. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Lord, shine through me. Shine your light through me this Christmas season. When I was a relatively new, brand new Christian, really, there was a Sunday school song that was being sung by the younger kids. I was a junior higher, so we weren't singing this, but I picked up on it. Some of you will remember this. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And it's this passage of scripture scripture that actually inspired that little song. What a great prayer. Lord, I want to shine. I want to shine for you. So, church, this Christmas season, light up the night with compassion and kindness. Light up the night by giving up that parking spot at the mall that probably really belonged to you. Light up the night with generosity. Light up the night by boldly declaring what Jesus Christ has done for you. Light up the night by inviting your friends and neighbors to come to the Bethel Church Christmas play. Yeah. Light up the night by standing with the poor, by honoring the elderly, by befriending the lonely, by serving the needy. Light up the night in 1,000 different ways, because God has called us to it, and this world needs it. Amen? This world needs it. We need to shine the light of Jesus Christ, not just with our words, but with our hearts, with our actions. Light up the night. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? And we're just going to take a moment right now. We're going to pray these two things. I'm going to pray these two things. Lord, let your light shine on me. And Lord, let your light shine through me. Amen. Can you make that your prayer this morning? Yeah, let's do it right now. I believe God's going to honor this prayer and answer this prayer. So you just begin to pray right now. Ask for yourself first. Lord, let your light shine on me. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Lord, if there's anything that's being hidden in the shadows right now, Lord, I want those things to come out into your life-giving, redemptive light, Lord. Hallelujah, God. I thank you, Lord, that you shine your light in every dark place for our good, to set us free, to break the bondage of darkness. God, that we would walk in your light. We would walk in freedom. We would walk in life, Lord. Lord, shine your light on me. And then secondly, Lord, shine your light through me. Through me. Lord, this Christmas season, may I live my life and may my words and my actions, God, be such a contrast to the darkness of this world. God, that your love, your life, your peace, your kindness, your goodness, your generosity, God, would shine through my life. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago, Lord, you came to be the light of the world, and you came not only for the world in general, but God, you came for me. You came to bring me out of the kingdom of darkness that I was walking in, and you have set me free. And Lord, I just pray that you will help me, God, now to live up to that, to walk in that, to walk in your light, and to let your light shine through me, God, in the darkness of this world. God, I want to pray in this Christmas season, Lord, even for our church, I pray that many, many people through the Christmas play and through Christmas Eve service and the women's brunch and Sunday mornings, God, I pray, Lord, that the light of Christ is going to shine through Bethel Church to our community. And we pray that many, many people are going to come into the light, Lord. They're going to find life in Jesus Christ, Lord. God, that they are going to recognize, God, that the world that they're walking in right now is a world that is shrouded in darkness, but you have something so much better for them. God, you've got life for them. And Lord, that which they thought was life really isn't. It's a deception. And they've been blinded by the enemy. And I pray that the light of Jesus Christ would shine into their lives and they would come to know you, Lord. So, Lord, we pray in this Christmas season that many, many, many people are going to find Jesus right here at Bethel Church, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your life, God.